same character. Do you get what I'm saying? In other words, like people say, well, now who do I pray to? And I always say, just pray to God, because if you're not sure who to pray for, it's Jesus God, Father God, Holy Spirit God. So you can pick anyone you want, but if you just say God, you got them all covered. It's like there's Steve Van Zandt, Gay Van Zandt, Jake Van Zandt, and used to be Charity Van Zandt. If we're walking down the street and you yell out Steve, I'm going to turn around. But if you yell out Van Zandt, we'll all turn around. So just say God. It doesn't matter. My point is, it's so awesome that during this whole process, I'm telling the Holy Spirit, Jesus that lives within me, we've always talk about the fruits of the Spirit, and self-control is one of the fruits, but we never really talk about it. It's actually the one on the end. And the one that starts the thing is love. And so you got love, it's like bookend. And so, but I wanted a grip on it because this is how we do life. What we do is we focus on the marshmallow instead of focusing. How many times have I told you from this pulpit, it's not about you, it's about him. Focus on him, not you, blah, blah, blah. But this, here's another thing. And the reason I waited 4 months is because I did a test drive with it. And let me tell you this, and the reason I know this was time for me to share it, I was at my house the other day, and my mother says, you're losing weight. And I said, probably. That's huge. And let me tell you why. Because used to, when I was losing weight, I would have said, yep, 4.2 pounds in 7.3 days. You get what I'm saying? When you walk in the fruit of self-control, it's a natural process that happens. Let me tell you this too, because we've been taught this kind of wrong in the past. That word fruit is a single word. In other words, it's not 9 different fruits of the Spirit, the apple, the banana, the mango, the what. It's the fruit of the Spirit is all of those things, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the goodness, the faithfulness. It's all incorporated into one. So it's not like, oh God, I need self-control in this area. No, no, no. It's self-control in all areas. And it started cropping up in me when I really started focusing on the Holy Spirit's work that he's doing in me, because it does take your cooperation, but it's his fruit, all right? So it does take your cooperation, but as I began to incorporate that, I think I told you the story a couple weeks ago about how I had a guy in Weatherford that cut me off. And then flip me off for him cutting me off. And I literally laughed. Ladies and gentlemen, really and truly, 6 months ago, I wouldn't have laughed. I would have been mad, and I would have turned on Christian music for a while. You know. There is something. So, by the way, I mean, I'm gone down from like 5 months pregnant to 3 months pregnant. But, hey, I've lost one of my twins. So. But it's not because I tried to this time. I eat at Two Highs. I'm just way off, but I don't care. I eat at Two Highs, which is a Vietnamese restaurant. I love the pho soup, and I also love they have a chicken curry. And so yesterday I went with my family to eat there at Two Highs, and because the soup, it's fattening. So I'm like, you know, this is an area where I can let the Holy Spirit help me in. So I ordered the chicken curry, and I told her no rice. This is how I love him. Man, I just love Jesus. Listen, he's got the greatest sense of humor, because watch what happened. I ordered it, before this understanding, they know me there because I eat there a lot, and so they would ask, you want rice or no rice? Because they know some days when I was feeling like I'm going to lose weight, I would not do the rice. So she said rice or no rice, and I said no rice. So, you know, everybody would go, okay, whatever. Well, when they bring it out, they made a mistake, and they brought me it with rice. See, that's where self-control comes in. It's when it's sitting on your plate. You hear what I'm saying? I have a friend of mine that blew all of his, he had hundreds of thousands of dollars that he blew because of a cocaine addiction. And God, he had an Apostle Paul moment. And I mean, literally had that great white light knock him down. And he told me almost a similar story. So I pulled out the Bible into Acts chapter 13 and showed him. I said, look, dude, this is what just happened to you. Anyway, so he's completely clean of drugs. Gay and I, we moved to Oklahoma. They pack up their family. Well, they don't have family. There's just two of them. Him and the wife, they go with us because we become friends, blah, blah, whatever. So we're there. He works at Gold's Gym. He's a big buff guy. He comes into me one day, and he's been clean forever. He comes into me one day, and he's bawling. I'm like, what's wrong, Teo? Well, I say his name. It don't matter. Teo. And he says,
He said, man, I blew it. I just tell you, I blew it. He said, I did some crack last night.
And I'm like, well, what happened? Guy walks up to him at work, says, I was at a party last night. This is a true story. I was at a party last night, and this guy handed me this, and it was a homemade aluminum crack pipe and a rock of crack in it. He said, I don't do drugs, so I figure you might want it. And Tao said, man, and I blew it. And I said, you know what's awesome to me, Tao? How many times did anybody offer you free drugs when you were an addict? Name me those times that somebody came up and did that to you. Name them to me. Well, it never happened. I said, do you not see you're on the right path? Dude, yeah, you blew it, no pun intended, but you're there. That Holy Spirit was working in him, and he didn't recognize it. What I'm saying is, when you understand it, all avenues of your life become self-controlled. Another quick story, because I was laughing today. I'm like, I think the Lord throws things in my life when I teach so that I'll have an illustration. But this is the first time, and I've been in that office for 25 years. I get up out of my chair, and I take one step, and I smash my foot into the chair. And I hit it, and I went, God, that's going to hurt. Because you know that little pause? You know where you hit it, and you go, that's not bad. Ah! You know? And then I just start laughing, because I'm like, I get it. There is this calmness, let's just get on point. Sorry. I want to help you with this. I want you to stop having to, well, number one, stop looking at the marshmallow and just do life. Do you get what I'm saying? You know, I mean, for every people who struggle, whatever the area of struggle is, we focus on the struggle because we got to figure out how to get away from the struggle. Stop. If those kids would have got up and started coloring or something, that time would have passed quick. But no, my favorite one was when that little kid turns his head and he sticks his hand out like, nobody's going to see me grab this. You know, isn't that greatness? Little kids, it's all their fault, isn't it? Let's look at the scripture. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. Look, I love you, but I can't take credit for it. Do you understand that? And I seriously mean that. Not that I hate you if I didn't have him, but what I'm saying is this is what's incorporated in this whole fruit thing that he does. So he produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That just doesn't seem to fit there, does it? I just love it. And then it says there's no law against such things. Now, do you know why it says there's no law against such things? Because there's no, you. If you're doing those things, you can't be breaking the law. You won't get it, listen to me, you will not get one more speeding ticket the rest of your life if you will not speed. Right? I think that's probably incorporated in that fruit of self-control. Having to be there, having to be in a hurry. I have noticed, not because I've focused on doing this, but because there's no words to explain. I'm just like, Holy Spirit, I just want you to do, you're growing it in me, grow it in me. I prefer, not so much manure right now, you know, the fertilizer. I don't want that so much right now. And I like the watering part, but I know you're growing. So it's by accident, but I've noticed I'm eating slower, which they will tell you, you know, when you eat slower, that's better for you. That's not the point. The point is I just noticed I am. So now it's not like I only use one fork now instead of two. There's no law against such things simply because you can't break the law if you love. Can you really see that? You're going to jail because you love me. That word, love, is in the original language is ekrateia, however you say it, doesn't matter. Here's what it means. It means possessing power. Now watch this. Possessing power to master desires and passions. That makes sense, doesn't it? Possessing power. Why do we think it's our power? You get it. Willpower. Forget your willpower. You can't do it. Has anybody really that worked for you? Willpower? But there's power present inside of us. Those of us who've asked Christ into our life, there's power inside there. So possessing power to master desires and passions. And it also means, some of you will understand, continent, which is the ability to control bodily functions. when you go to the doctor and if you can't control your bodily functions, they tell you that you're incontinent because they don't want to say you can't hold your bodily functions. That's what that means. So I want you to understand that's what self-control really means, because that's a powerful thing, because that shows there is no control in that, right? So, and again, it doesn't refer to apples and bananas and mangoes. It refers to a general outcome or a result. And it's only used three times in the Word. Three times in the Word. I'm going to show you two of them, then I'll end with the last one. But I want to preface this one before I show it to you. This is where the Apostle Paul was talking to King Felix. I have just been reading him. Paul was the most, what a great, funny guy. He was killing Christians. He was dragging Christians in. In fact, he had just gotten papers to go to Damascus to pick up Christians, put them in chains to embarrass them, and take them back to Jerusalem so that they could be, you know, probably put to death, but he would never admit that. He was the one that held the coats while Stephen was stoned by the other ones. That's how much he hated the people that he called were in the way, W-A-Y, capital, the way, the truth, the life, that way. I mean, there are people in the way, but that's a whole different thing. So here he is. He's had that experience where he's going to Damascus to pick up these people. Jesus knocks him down off his high horse, blinds him, says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul's like, "What do you mean persecuting you? Who are you?" This is cool. He says, "I'm Jesus Christ that you're persecuting." Anyway, blinded him for 3 days. Ananias lays his hand on him. He gets his eyesight back, and now he's a total believer in Jesus. Now the people who were Jesus believers they think he's faking it, and he's wanting to kill him. So he's got that faction of people. Then he's got the other faction of people that are still Jewish, and they don't want to believe in Jesus, and so they're wanting to kill him. And so there's this whole scenario walking up to this point where he's doing his preaching thing, and then they are all mad. And I'm talking about they being the church is mad. Remember, the Roman government is who's in control here. The Sadducees and the Pharisees and those church people, they're the ones that are mad at him, trying to kill him in the temple, drug him out of the temple, was beating, pounding him to death. And the Roman commander shows up and says, and so they stop and they say, "What are you doing?" "Well, he's done this and this." So he takes him and imprisons him, has Paul strapped down, and he's going to give him stripes. And Paul says to him, "Do you really think you should do that to a Roman citizen?" And the dude stops and goes, "I didn't know you was a Roman citizen." He goes to his commander. He says he's a Roman citizen. The commander goes, "Are you a Roman citizen?" He says, "Yes, I'm a Roman citizen." He says, "Well, so am I, and I paid a lot for it." And Paul says, "Well, I was born into it." And then the commander was all shaky and scared. So the commander took him. Well, then all this plot was coming that they were going to, that the church people were going to try to kill Paul. And so Paul's speaking to them as the Roman guys are taking him away. And so they call him before the commander. And the commander says, calls in the leadership of the church and says, what's your charges against this guy? And So they name out all these charges, and Paul, in the midst of it, goes, "The only reason I'm on trial is because I believe in the resurrection." Well, the reason he said that was because the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. So they both of them stood up and started fighting with each other. So Paul stirred up all this stuff. He was great, man. He got out of trouble. And then he goes, of course, he's still in trouble. So they lock him up and take him in. And I told you the stripe story. And then they take him and they make this plot to kill him. They tell the commander. The commander says, "We're sending him to Felix, because Felix is the one who is in charge of his area in Rome." That leads me to this next scripture. How is that for a cliff note? Woo! Really? A few days later, Felix came back with his wife, Drusilla. What a great name. She was Jewish, and what happened was Felix, Paul spoke to when he also called in the leadership. Paul spoke to all them, and it stimulated something inside of Felix, because he had heard about the way being Jesus. He had heard about Jesus and all that. So he was coming. And so he decided, and his wife was Jewish, and she had heard about the way. So he decided he called court off, and he says, "I'll talk to him privately." This is what this happened. So a few days later, Felix came back with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish, and sending for Paul, they listened as he told them about faith in Christ. As he reasoned with them about righteousness, self-control, same word, and again, it's only used three times, self-control and the coming day of judgment, Felix became frightened. He said, "Go away for now," he replied. "When it's more convenient, I'll call for you again." So incorporated in his understanding, Paul recognized the importance of righteousness. Obviously, our righteousness in Christ. The first time Paul mentions that is like in chapter 13 of Acts. A while ago I said 13, and it was actually chapter 8, I believe, of his Damascus story. Anyway, so of righteousness, of self-control, self-control, self-control. I just found that he understood it. And listen, as he walked through life, he only was attacked by church. The Romans had nothing against him. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's kind of similar to Jesus. The Romans killed Jesus, but it was because they were instructed to by the Jewish community, which was the church. So he was constantly attacked by the church, and he was constantly attacked because here's what they would say. We don't believe that the guys are saying that you're telling them they don't have to do the law, and you're telling them this, and you're telling that. So you need to do this to prove this and do that. And you know what? Paul yielded. Because Paul at one point, I don't know if you remember, he said, "I become all things to all men that I might win a few." Let me tell you something. We don't have to be right all the time. You know, you can love people without having to be right all the time. Whatever that means. So, second time it's shown right here. Love this one, man. This is Peter writing. And because of his glory and excellence, this is Peter speaking, "and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature." Bing, 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 bing. Let bells and whistles go off right there for you. "Share in his divine nature. Every good in me is his divine nature. Every bad in me is my sin nature." Do you get it? So anytime you say, "Man, Steve, you're so good," I can look at you and go, "That's Jesus." And if you look at me and say, "Man, you did that," I can go, "That's me." Yes, that's in my sinful nature, yes. But that sinful nature has died according to the word, but we're walking in this process. So let's stay on point. He's given us these great promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires for marshmallows. It didn't say marshmallows, I added that. In view of all of that, what I just said, make every effort to respond to God's promises. What is God's promises? When we see promises, see, we think, "Oh, yeah, man, he said he'll give me this." No, no, no. His promises are yes and amen. His promises are what Jesus did on the cross. His promises are right and true. His promise is eternal life if we believe in Jesus. Those are his promises. And yes, the other stuff comes. It's what it says in Matthew 6:33. "Seek him first and his righteousness." Stay in his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you is what your scripture that you probably read says. It literally means, and all your life will fall into place. You won't be struggling in all these areas when you just hang inside there. So now watch this. So he gives a great thing here. So supplement your faith. What does that mean? Supplement your belief. Supplement your belief that Jesus is who he says he is and did what he said he did, and it really is true. Supplement that with generous provision of moral excellence, which means we allow our brains to think right. We don't take in and give out bad. We take in and give out good. Yes, it's about morality. Yes, it can be sexually. It can be whatever. Listen, it's just as strong about how you treat somebody. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not just about, "Oh, yeah, I know they went out and they did that." It's your attitude that you just said that. That's part of moral excellence. You get it? Got it. And moral excellence, watch. So he's saying add. So when he says supplement, it literally means to add to. So add to your faith with generous provision of moral excellence, and to moral excellence with knowledge, because you need more knowledge. You need knowledge of who Jesus is. You do need knowledge of him. Now, knowledge, by the way, is not wisdom. Really and truly, knowledge is not. I know a lot of people who are smart, but they're not very smart. They're not real wise in choices and whatever. So, but this is talking about excellence with knowledge. Now, watch this. But add to your knowledge self-control. Knowledge isn't, before you can really understand the fruit of the spirit of self-control, you need to have a full or a good, strong understanding of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus, in that whole process. And I don't mean a theological understanding. I'm talking about an experiential understanding. I could speak for you for days theologically, and it wouldn't mean anything. But if I tell you a story of how God raised me from the dead, that will wake you up. Do you get it? Now, He hasn't raised me from the dead yet, although there were times where I probably should have been dead. He's got some angels that He's assigned to me that have big muscles. Well, actually, I was pretty little when I did those things. So, self-control with patient endurance with godliness. What is godliness? We love that word, don't we? It's an attachment to the word of righteousness, which is attached to the whole processes that about Jesus and us being His righteousness. Godliness flows from you too. Godliness is not what we, if you were raised in church, I was raised in church, and man, godliness was this heavy burden that you carry. It is not. Jesus said, you come to me, take my yoke on you. Take what I've placed on you, because my yoke's easy and my yoke's light. Why is Jesus' yoke easy and His yoke light? Because He did all the work. Do you get it? And brotherly, now look how He ends it, and brotherly affection, add to godliness brotherly affection, and then after brotherly affection, love for everybody. In other words, He's saying brotherly affection is the word phileo, which is where the Philadelphia comes from, city of brotherly love. He's saying add a brotherly, a phileo love, you know, how about them Cowboys, that kind of love, and then an agape love for everybody. What's that? An unconditional love. That's a love that I have to love you, and if I don't like you, how sad is that? You know, that's kind of hard. I've got to love you. I love you, but I got to kill you. I saw you, John. You said that to her, didn't you? Becca, did he say it to you one time? Yeah, see? I love that. She's playing right along. Okay, so that's, that really has nothing to do with the whole point I wanted to get to. I just know I had to do more than 5 minutes of sermon, and y'all would walk out on me and go eat, so I'm kidding. So there's three times. I'm fixing to show you. Well, the third one was the Galatians one that I talked about. Only three times that word is used. It's used in verb ways and some other places, but in the strongest ways, that's where it's used. But here's what I want you to see, because this is where the rubber meets the road, and this is where people got aggravated with Paul, and this is where people get aggravated with me, and it's because they didn't think that Paul understood the battle. See, because of my personality, because I firmly believe everything I teach, and I firmly try to walk everything that I teach, and I promise you the proof in the pudding, ask my wife, is how I am, because I'm different than I was 5 years ago. I'm different than I was 6 months ago. I'm different, and I think it's a good difference. She hadn't yelled at me yet, so I'm sure it probably, uh-oh, there it came. She didn't have to yell. She yells with her eyes, too. She gives that look, you know, like, move on, and then pretty soon she'll say what scripture I'm on, because she knows I'm off point. Which that reminds me of another thing now that I'm off point. You know what? Let me tell you something. This is important, man. This was an epiphany this week for me, because are anybody in here forgetful? Okay, thank you. That means you, yeah. Forget what? Okay, well, I kind of get that way. And say, what do? We say, oh, you know, I'm getting old and stuff. Listen, here's my epiphany. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. Proclaim that you have the mind of Christ over you. I'm not playing here. This is another thing that I did this week, and I promise, because I'm at the point, and I was going to say I'm at the age, but it's not the age. I'm at the point in my life where I will get up. I've spent a lot of time in my office, so I'm using my office as an example. I'll get up and go, man, okay, come on, God. That's me. Come on, God. What did I get up for? Don't make me feel so stupid. Yeah. Did I turn the coffee off? I don't know. You know, and then so then it's like, then that whole thing is, well, you know, you're just getting old. That was bugging me. But let me tell you what. Now I'm proclaiming the mind of Christ. Jesus doesn't forget anything except your sins. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Word says that very clearly, man. He says He's thrown it into the sea of forgiveness. But he's got clarity of mind. So if I have the mind of Christ, I have that clarity. And let me tell you something. I don't want to give you a 1, 2, 3 Here's what I hate, because when I tell you this, then it's like, okay, well, then if I'll just do that. It's not that at all. But what I have been doing is, you know, I'm holding on to that. Jesus, I have your mind, so that means your mind is a lot sharper than my mind, not only in areas of forgetfulness, but in areas of being ugly with folks and stuff. So there's another, that's a free one today that I just gave you, by the way. I'll probably end up preaching that someday. But listen, we have the mind, the Bible says so. We have the mind of Christ. And so I want that not forgetful part of the mind of Christ. And in the last couple of days, it's worked. I'm telling you stories because it's so true. I couldn't find my fingernail file in my desk. And I had just read this article that gave me this epiphany about this mind of Christ thing. And I sat back in my chair and I'm like, if I have the mind of Christ, why can't I? I opened it up. There it is. I was looking in this part of my desk, and it was right where I had put it and didn't remember I put it till I said, why can't I have the mind of Christ? It's like, oh, well, there you can. It really is that simple. Does that mean I'll not forget ever again? No. We don't add the law to Jesus. Walk in an understanding every day of your life that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is in you. Part of you, the same, it says in Romans 8, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, man. If that, I'm thinking he can help me remember something, if that same Spirit that raised him from the dead, you get it? Man, so that was real off point. Now see, I haven't asked him for self-control and rabbit trailing. And I'm not going to, because I like the way it aggravates my wife. Which is not brotherly love, that's sisterly love. Here we go. So my whole point was, I'm going to show you, not only does Paul understand the battle that we're in, so does Steve Van Zandt understand it, because people think, oh goodness, he doesn't go through anything, or he doesn't, you know what, stop, or he doesn't get my struggles, and man, you guys, if you only knew, you would leave the church, so I can't tell you. Here's the scripture that Paul wrote that I want to share with you. He said, those who are dominated by their sinful nature think about sinful things. Now, when it says sinful, I want you to understand what the word sin means. It in the Greek language, it means missing the mark, all right? So it is sin. Yes, it's sin. I'm not trying to downplay the word sin, but we've made sin. It's missing the mark. It's making a mistake. It's doing something dumb. So do you get it? So those of us who are dominated by our nature that's constantly doing something wrong, always is thinking about the wrong somethings that we're doing. You get it? Paul gets it. Do you see it? Just because he saw it doesn't mean he has to walk in it. This is what drives me crazy about folks. And the scripture I'm going to show you that I vetted out, I just love it. I just love it because I'm kind of relating to Paul right now in my own life. Because people don't understand. Just because I get this. Listen, I'm the king of this. My sinful nature side's the king of this. But I don't have to live there. And I choose not to live there. Don't be mad at me, and don't be mad at me for not yelling at you and telling you you need to get that yuck out. That's silly. You know you got your yuck. Because right when I said sinful nature, every one of y'all thought of something you did something dumb. Johnny's like, man, I thought more than one thing. I say it. So watch this. So those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, by the way, that word control is not, you know, like he's got a leash on you and, you know, walking. No. Control means release. You're releasing who you are to the Holy Spirit that resides within you. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. What are things that please the Spirit? Let's go to the fruit. Do you think he would waste his time making fruit if it didn't please him? Think God's going to make a piece of fruit that's sour? Well, there is some that's sour, but that's bad. No, you're going to make something that you use that you want. So the Holy Spirit has these nine incorporated parts of this one big piece of fruit called the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and He's pleased with that. So what things can I think on that please the Holy Spirit? And I just think, that person, I could love them. I've got joy when I shouldn't have joy. And let me tell you something, people will try to steal your joy. But they can steal your happiness, but they can't steal your joy. And it doesn't matter how many people tell you, I've told you this a million times, but it's true. When my daughter died, I still had joy. It was a little deep down, but on occasion it would come up. The second it would come up, man, people would go, oh, you're just not dealing with your daughter's death. Really? And how many daughters have you had die? And I didn't mean that in a bad way. It's just, I just think it's hilarious that people get angry. And that's what happened to Paul. Paul, when he would share about Jesus with these church people, they were fine until he got to this point where he said, and the Lord told me to go to the Gentiles. And that's when they started screaming, kill them, kill them. There's your racism, if you want racism. If you want to throw out that card. They were fine till he decided to incorporate people that they didn't like. Anyway. My ears shrinking. That would be a miracle of God. Wow, wow. Okay. So, let me finish this out. That those who are dominated by sinful nature, the Holy Spirit, think about the things that please the Holy Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind, why does Jesus say, I want to transform you by the renewing of your mind, not the renewing of your heart, not the renewing of your body, the renewing of your mind. Your mind, your mind, your phronio is how it's said in Greek. So letting your sinful nature control your mind, it leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and something that most people are missing even though they're believers, and that's peace. You can walk in peace in the midst of the storm. You can sleep in peace when you're aggravated at somebody instead of tossing and turning about what you're going to say to them or email them or text them or put on Facebook about them. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. There is life and peace in allowing the Holy Spirit to control our mind. It's our mind. That's why that word repent, metanoia, literally means change your mind concerning Jesus. That's what that's all it means. Back in 1562, Wycliffe decided to make it mean some kind of a penance thing. He changed it. The original Greek from millions of years ago, not that many, but however many years ago, metanoia literally means change your mind, period, end of story. There's no remorse. There's no sorrow. Change. So when John the Baptist said, repent, he's saying, change your mind, man, concerning sin. I can promise you, can I say change your mind concerning sin? Because has sin ever done you anything healthy? Is there any sin that we've ever done that's really helped us? No, well then, it's common sense. I'm going to be the common sense preacher guy. So, but let the Spirit control your mind. It leads you to peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. Why? Because we always want to do what our parents don't want us to do. Did y'all not grow up like that? Or was that just me? Holy smoke. I know every one of my children, when they rebelled against me, it was payback for me. Because Gay was perfect. She made perfect mistakes. I told you that story. My kid said that one time. So look at that, so watch. I love this. So letting the sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit lead you to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's wills, God's laws, and it never will. Good luck on self-control without the Holy Spirit involved in it. Good luck on willpower. Good luck on, I've only done 12 points. I just made a meme for my wife. I have a picture, some of you on Facebook, you know that I have this picture with me eating that thing from, I was in Boston a couple years back. You know what I'm talking about? Did you see it?
And it looked like what happened was my son sees now he's working. Anyway, my son went to Mike's, which is famous in Boston for these cannolis, and he bought a dozen of them. And I was excited. And when we got back to the room, he had half of one left for me. Half of one. So I had Gay take the picture. I took it and I smeared it on my face and held the box up. And I looked like I was, like she, you know, surprised. Anyway, y'all saw that picture. Well, on that picture, I made a meme. And at the top, I put, the doctor said for me, doctor with a semicolon, you need to eat only 1,200 calories a day. And at the bottom, I said, me. Well, how many do I get to eat at night? I have no idea why I shared that. There was a purpose there. Oh, wait, I got the mind of Christ. It's going to go away. See how that's a work in progress? You get it? It's a work in progress. You are a work in progress. But progress is the key word. You're not digressing. You're progressing. Okay? And that's the funnest part about him. We do the same thing for our kids when they mess up. You know, when they started walking and learned how to walk. You know, and we're taking the video and the camera and going to put on, say, come on. You know, for 15 minutes they've been walking, and then you put the camera on there, oh, you know, and finally they take one step, you know, then they get another step in there, and boy, we shouldn't have, oh, yeah, and then they fall down. And we say, get up! What's wrong with you? You need to walk! Of course we don't do that. What do, man? We can pick them up. They might be crying. Oh, honey, it's okay. You'll get better. And then they learn to walk. That's where they're progressing. If we have that much grace for a child, how much more the guy who died on the cross for us does for us? Holy smoke. I'm praying today begins your process in self-control, the Holy Spirit fruit in self-control. And I've been in this process for about 3 months. And I, honest to goodness, don't know how much weight I've lost. I still do my workout, but I don't do my workout like I miss my workout. No, it's not that at all. It's I feel better after I work out. I really do. So I work out. It really is that simple. Just keep the understanding. Let your mind absorb the understanding. Just keep the understanding of it in your mind all the time. Every avenue, driving, walking, sitting, eating. Eating's always been a big thing for me because, unfortunately, I love food. I just do. I like food. So, but I'm constantly aware, and I'm not being heavy-handed about it. In other words, if I eat a piece of candy or something, I don't, oh, God, I failed you. It's not about me failing. It's about me understanding. You get it. It's about me absorbing. It's about me hanging with the Holy Spirit. It's about me saying, I want this fruit growing in me. And I always viewed it as single fruits. It's not. That word fruit is a singular noun. It's not plural. Singular noun. So, Paul knew the battle, but I want to show you something. And this is where the rubber meets the road, and then I'll shut up. Paul also understood that the fight for self-control is a fight of faith. Here's what he said. We proclaim him, Jesus, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Look at the next part. For this purpose also, I labor, Paul speaking, I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. This is the key that Paul found, and this is the key that I feel like I'm starting to find, and that is, what's that say? I'm striving to his power, which mightily works within me. Here's how I vetted this out, and again, when I say vetted it out, that means I take the original Greek language, and each individual word has a plethora of meaning, has a bunch of meanings, and so I just incorporate it into the thoughts, and here's what this says. SVV, Steve Van Zandt, vetted. We, this is Apostle Paul speaking, we publicly announce Christ the Messiah and King of Kings, gently warning all of humanity concerning him. We instill, we educate, and we instruct his doctrine, His doctrine. His doctrine. We instruct His doctrine with intelligence, with specifics. That's important, man. With experience and with understanding to everybody, to all. And the reason for this is to show and to demonstrate to everybody that the integrity, the goodness, the generosity, and the true purpose found in the resurrected Christ is perfect, flawless, and finished. Now, wait, we're not done. That's just the first part of it. I'm telling you, I just took the words and use them all, but if there's one word, like if you have an American word, an English word, and you look at them, there's like six different definitions, well, then you can incorporate that thought into six different ways. You get what I'm saying? So now watch this. It's because of this, this is the Apostle Paul, because of what I just said, because of Jesus' perfection and his flawlessness, it's because of this that I give everything that I've got to the point of exhaustion, passionately fighting through adversity, frustration, and hardship. I think the key one there for him, and maybe for me, is that frustration. You get frustrated because you just want folks to join you and walk with you. But look at what he does. Look what he's saying. He's saying, because of that, because Jesus is perfect, I get to the point of exhaustion. I passionately fight through adversity. I fight through frustration and hardship. I can only do this because of his dynamic power, his authority, his strength, his ability. I have none on my own. He resides in me and is through his divine nature, his qualities, his attributes, his character, his generosity, his love, his kindness, that my life becomes complete in him. You get it. It's just so powerful. So here's my final thoughts. I just wrote down my final conclusion thoughts. Paul got it. His strength, including self-control, is about the Holy Spirit growing inside of him, not in his ability to do it. So self-control is a result of the Holy Spirit, not a product of hard work or self-improvement. Fruit of self-control is a bit of a paradox or a contradiction, isn't it? How can you have the ability to control yourself with the result of, read exactly how I wrote it. How can the ability to control oneself be the result of being controlled by someone else? How can that happen? You can't say self-control if it's not self that's controlling. Watch this. It's really simple. We must cooperate with the Holy Spirit. But it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work in us. Watch. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not the fruit of Steve Van Zandt. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not the fruit of me. It's his nature coming forth and manifesting through me. So every time, guys, every time that somebody says, man, Steve, you're so nice, you're so this, I want you to know that speaks volumes to me, not just to encourage me. It speaks that there's something really is working in me because it's him that's in me that's doing it. Because if it wasn't him in me, I couldn't do it. How in the hernia could I have, sorry, wow, how in the hernia? They should actually call it a hemia. And a herterectomy. It is him. It's all about him. Now, see, I just got a point. Is that what you're mad at me about? Sorry, I lost him. Did y'all lose? Did I lose y'all? Who? What? Yeah. Yeah, are you forgetting now? No, I have the mind of somebody. You told me somebody. I have the mind of somebody. I'm sorry. I was a little excited. It's his nature coming forth that manifests through me. That's what I was talking about, is encouragement, how you guys encourage me. And the encouragement isn't about me getting a pat on the back. Listen, I learned a long time ago. In fact, one of my mentors told me this. He said, Steve, when somebody encourages you and when somebody hammers you, which, you know, if you have to weigh it out, you get hammered more than encouraged. It's not the point. The point is, he said, let them both fall off you like water on a duck's back. Because I would struggle with that. I struggle with that forever. But my point is, when you say that, that tells me that this Holy Spirit fruit in me is actually working and leaking out properly like it's supposed to be leaking out. And so it encourages me to allow that to happen more. So watch this. So it's his nature coming forth and manifesting through me. It's the way that he acts and is produced from his nature. Don't give me so much credit. It's his nature and it's being produced in me so that it can come out of me. He's awesome. How many times have I told you that? He's awesome. I'm not. Get over it. But he is, and he's so awesome, and he's so perfect, and I'm not so perfect. I'm not anything, but man, I am trying to allow this thing to occur in me where this fruit just keeps growing and growing. And as soon as right now that I say that, there'll be something that happens. So the other day, here's the greatest example. After my mother told me that about you probably lost weight, man, I thought, man, I said, probably. I was so proud of me. And I'm driving back to church. I'm like, God, I'm proud. I can teach this now. I think I'm starting to walk in this self-control. And go! This woman was on her phone where we turn left to get on Denton Highway. You can ask my wife, there's always about a 20-second window between tons of cars. I let her sit through two of them, but I hadn't had enough of that understanding to let her sit through the third. And of course she's on her phone and I drove by real fast. And see, I tell you all the time, when you focus on Jesus, when you really focus on him and the Holy Spirit in you, you'll become Jesus conscious instead of self-conscious. You become Jesus conscious instead of sin conscious. You'll also become Jesus conscious instead of self-righteous. You get it? He woke me up to my self-righteousness in a heartbeat. Because I'm like, man. No, we get like that, don't we? I mean, I got it. Woo-hoo. I am complete. Ah! Oh, man, he's funny. He's a funny kind of guy. He really is. He's a good guy. That's funny that I said good guy. Now something that's disrespectful. No, it's not. He's my friend. He really is. How cool is that? He's my Savior and he's my friend. Not only did he save me, he said, I want to hang with you. Wow. It's quite a dude. Okay, so let me get back on point, and I'm done. I said I'm done. I only got like three more points. None of it's scripture, so you don't have to worry about that. So, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not the fruit of me. It's his nature coming forth, manifesting through me. It's the way that he acts, and oh, this is so good, and is produced from his nature. I don't have to work up love for you. I don't have to work up joy. I don't have to work up peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I don't even have to work up self-control. He is already all those things in me, but I have to stay in the vine. Read John chapter 15, man, where Jesus talks about, I'm the vine, you're the branches, hang with me. You hang in the vine, you will get this. You will understand this, and you'll understand it ain't me. Now watch, here's the most, probably the most powerful thing to me that I saw in this. Not only does the Holy Spirit act through me to others, he acts in me toward me. Do you get it? I used to believe, man, I used to believe the lies about his nature and his character, and I lived in fear of him squashing me like a bug when I messed up, but he's always loving. He's always joyful. He's always peaceful. He's always patient. He's always kind. He's always good. He's always faithful. He's always gentle. And thank God he's always self-controlled with me. All those things with me. So not only is the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in me and comes through me, but it's... Let me read it. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit is the way that he treats others through me, and it's the way that he treats me. How can I turn my back on that? I can't. I can't, and I don't want you to. If you get anything out of this today, I want you to walk out of here saying that I have the mind of Christ, therefore I want to remember everything that was worth remembering from that sermon he just said. I want people whole so bad, and I'm telling you, it is available. His wholeness is available. It's not heavy. He said it, my burden is light. It's light because he did all the work. We didn't do that. He did the work. You get it? All right, I'm self-controlled enough to have my wife come.
I'd like for you to stand with me. I'm going to invite you to this altar in just a moment. I want to leave you with this summation. Don't be dominated by missing the mark. Don't choose to live there in your failure. Choose to bring your failure to God quicker so that you can glorify who He is to others. Because I want to tell you something. When we were praying in that hospital, this lady shared this with us. And she said, every test you fail is a cheat sheet for someone else to pass their test. So what? Let me just, anybody in here failing some tests in life? Is it just, because my hand's up for a reason, right? But when I give that to God, I become a light to the path for someone else to overcome. Yes, yes, yes. So don't be dominated with where you miss the mark. Be dominated in the fact that your weakness is His strength. And He will enable you to do what you need to do. So I'm simply going to ask you this morning, if you need help, and you just say, you know what, I just want to bring this up. I just need some help in this area, and I just want an agreement. If you'll come this morning, we're just going to pray with you that we will be more God-conscious than sin-conscious, and that you will not only forgive yourself, but you don't have to hide your sin because you're not going to be judged. Jesus took your judgment. Let's walk in wholeness. Just come.